From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. In stores and on homes, the holiday decorations seem to be coming out early this year. Chalk it up to people needing something to look forward to amid dire winter COVID predictions, and to the reality that shopping in crowded stores just isn't advisable this year. And so New Hampshire's local retailers are getting ready now for the holidays, which is why we here on The Exchange are bringing you our holiday book show a little early this year. We're talking with the owners of three independent bookstores on how they're faring during the pandemic, but also about books, their favorites for gift giving and receiving, including those that provide a little escape from reality. Listeners, tell us, how has your reading changed this year? What are you looking for in a book for yourself or for someone else? Send us an email. It's exchange@nhpr.org. Our phone number, 1-800-892-6477. As always, all the books mentioned by our guests and by you, our listeners, will be on our website later today at nhpr.org/exchange. We're talking for the hour with Dan Chartrand of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, Michael Herman of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, and Benjamin Paisley of Bookery Manchester. Well, a big welcome to all of you. And Michael, let's start with you. How are you approaching this upcoming season, Michael, which is normally the most profitable time of the year for retailers?
Well, it's truly uncharted territory, Laura. The ABA, the American Booksellers Association, has promoted some campaigns for all the independent bookstores. It started out with October as the new December, and now we're into November as the new December. And we're trying to push that message for everybody to please shop early and shop local. And it's having an effect. The holiday sales have started ramping up already, and that's great because we don't know what December is going to bring. So if people want to, you know, have that browsing experience, we want them to come in now.
Oh, that's interesting. So November is the new December. And come in now if you do like that browsing experience. That's the message that you're putting out there. What are you telling folks, Michael, about shipping if they want stuff shipped from your store?
Yeah, we've emphasized online sales since March. And I think all independent bookstores have benefited from being able to offer that. And so we've had shipping specials. We have a shoppable website, as so many bookstores do. And so that's become an important part of our business.
Dan Chartrand, how about you? What's different about this holiday season for your store?
Well, I mean, on one hand, everything's different. And on the other hand, I like to say that everything's the same, but with masks. we're still open. We do have a very strict mask policy and a very militant staff. And it's great that love.
Dan, we lost you there for a moment. Could you repeat what you just said?
Urging people. They're constantly urging people to wear their masks correctly, which is great. But we've been reopened since June 19th, we've actually had the busiest run that we've ever had in the store. I think people miss that in-person experience in so many parts of their life. And the bookstore, we keep hearing from our patrons that the bookstore feels safe to them. So we like to say that everything's normal, but with masks. We are running our non-public facing operation alongside of our public operation. We've never taken it down. So we're still taking orders over the web and over the phone. And we're doing home delivery, free shipping, and curbside pickup still. We've never stopped doing things either.
Wow. Free shipping, which could be expensive when we start talking about the Obama book that's newly out. That's about 700 and some odd pages, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Benjamin, how about you? How are the folks at the bookery feeling as the end of the year season approaches?
So kind of to echo Michael and Dan, everything is essentially the same. We do miss our customers. The traffic in-store has dwindled down a lot, but we still encourage people to order your books online. We're actually working on getting an online store set up for the holiday season. Hopefully we have it up in time. We're working on doing that. And as I believe Dan mentioned, we haven't closed down, period. So we've been open this whole entire time. I'm not sure people still know or remember that we haven't closed. Our doors are still open. We offer the curbside pickup. We do the online delivery, and we are working on the online store. But it's definitely slowed down a little bit. Everybody's really diligent on their mask wearing. We too have had to correct people to wear their mask the right way because they like to come in with it under their noses. But that's a whole nother beast. But for the most part, we're still having fun in here. We're getting all ready for Christmas, getting in the holiday spirit. And hopefully, like Michael mentioned, people start to shop sooner than later.
So November is the new December at the Bookery too. And Benjamin, you talked a lot about your online store and sort of beefing that up. What's that going to look like? How's that going to be different? And, you know, that's sort of time and expense for you guys too.
Yes, ma'am. So it'll be a little different, as in now you can actually shop online. So if you see a book that you like here, you can check it out online. You wouldn't have to necessarily do what we've been doing, is where you email in asking for a book. We say if we have it, and then we go grab that book for you. It'll essentially kind of be like Amazon, where you can just click whatever you would like, and then it gets shipped to you. We have to do work on the back end, of course, to make sure everything works out. But essentially, it's hopefully a one-click store.
All right. Again, I want to remind listeners that you can join us. Our number here in the Exchange, as we do our holiday book show a little early this year, is 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. You can send us an email as well. It's exchange@nhpr.org. We had three local booksellers with us from Concord, Exeter, and Manchester. We're getting their picks for the holidays for some of their favorite books of the year. And of course, we'd like to hear from you as well. Send your favorites in by email, exchange@nhpr.org, or by Facebook or Twitter, or with a phone call, 1-800-892-6477. So all of you, but maybe Benjamin, you first, what kind of book seemed to stand out this year? You know, was there sort of one genre or one kind of author that your customers just couldn't get enough of, Benjamin?
Weirdly, there was a book that kind of no one here, well, I'm not sure if they did, but I definitely didn't expect to do really good, was Natalie Portman's Fables, the signed copy. Like it came and then everyone wanted it, like everyone. We've still had messages about it. Do you have the signed copies? Do you have this signed copy? And unfortunately, we had to let them know we didn't have any more because they sold out immediately. Even the publishers were like, oh, we don't have any more. We can't get them in. But that was the biggest book that took us kind of by storm that we still can't recuperate from because people still want it so bad.
Wow. Okay. I have to admit, on the air, I don't know what that book is. Tell me a little more about that, Benjamin.
So it's just it's a book about fables, some of the fables we all knew growing up. But I believe Natalie Portman made this one. It's not too much different than any other book that I know of. I think it's just because a lot of people love her and follow her as a person. And then once she signed it and made it hers, I think it went pretty popular and really viral because we're still getting requests for it.
Michael, how about you? What kind of book, or one book, as Benjamin says, really stood out as a favorite among customers?
Yeah, it's as Dan said, it's kind of a regular year with masks. But I will say that that people have really appreciated having books that are signed in a special way by some of their favorite authors, the way Benjamin is saying, like Untamed by Glennon Doyle. There was a special signed edition of that, which was extremely popular. Jodi Picoult's new book, we got signed copies of that, and it's really hard to keep in stock. So I think people are looking for something special as sort of a reward to themselves for putting up with this pandemic.
Escapist fiction, Michael, is that a genre that people are coming in saying, help, help, let me find this?
It's hard because I think we're only going to understand this year in retrospect. I still don't have a handle on it. They're not really looking so much for escapism more than usual. I think they're just sort of, they've intensified their search for something that'll both entertain and educate them for sure.
What else are you selling, Benjamin, besides books that seems especially in tune with where people are at now? You know, puzzles, games, cards, Benjamin, in addition to the books, of course.
I would say the cards. The cards are a great way to kind of connect with people or to send people those messages that we're still out here, we still care, we still love you. We're seeing those take a big spike, especially coming up to the holiday season.
So those are sort of beautiful sort of, I don't know what I'll say, handmade, but special cards that people, you curate them, right? And people can tell you what they're looking for and you sort of send it out to them. Benjamin, how does that work?
Yes, ma'am. They can email us letting us know exactly what they want on them. We can handwrite them. We can wrap them, package them in a certain way. But yes, we curate them and then we send them out to whoever need be, or some customers just don't have great handwriting and they want us to do it for them and they'll just come in and grab it.
Wow. Michael, how about you? Other items besides books that are selling really well for you at Gibson's?
Well, there's been a big vogue for jigsaw puzzles this year. It was overwhelming. It was like the adult coloring books a few years ago. It's because it's something you can do at home with your family while you're in lockdown, kind of. And we've sold more jigsaw puzzles this year than I think we sold in the 10 years before it.
Wow. What about the cards, Michael? I have heard that this is a hot item this year.
Yeah, people, you know, it's hard to shop for them remotely, so they weren't that much of a thing while we were still in lockdown. But as soon as we reopened, yeah, there was a big surge of greeting cards. I think people are looking for ways to reach out to people personally.
All right. Well, again, our number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. By the way, Dan Chartrand is back with us. Dan, sorry we lost you there. This is the new world we're living in. That's okay. Dan, we were just talking with Benjamin and Michael about what kind of book really stood out for customers this year that you think will be a favorite this holiday season, Dan, at your bookstore in Exeter. Okay, we're having trouble with Dan Chartrand this morning. Yeah, lost him again, Dan. We will make valiant efforts to reconnect with you. Back to you, Benjamin and Michael. You mentioned Natalie Portman's Fables, Benjamin. That was just a surprise breakout book for you at Bookery Manchester. What about fiction? Let's play around with that category for a while. What's been your absolute best-selling novel this year, Benjamin?
For a fiction?
Yeah.
The best-selling one for us was Midnight Sun by Stephanie Meyer.
Wow. Okay. And give me a little taste of that, Benjamin. Midnight Sun by Stephanie Meyer.
Yes. It's a book. I think it's Twilight. So it's when Edward Cullen and Bella Swan met in Twilight, an iconic love story. But until now, fans have heard only Bella's side of the story. And now they get to hear Edward's side of the story.
Ah.
So that's what it is. I'm not a huge Twilight fan, so I don't know too much about it.
Well, and Dan Chartrand, let's try you again. Are you with us, Dan?
I am. Thanks, Laura.
No problem. And just tell us, flipping back to where we were a moment ago with the other two guests, is there one kind of book, one genre that is really jumping out for your customers this year at Water Street?
You know, I can't say there is. The point Michael made about signed books and special editions of books is very valid. The Untamed by Glennon Doyle has been wildly popular. She put out a special edition that wasn't just signed, but it had a special artwork page tipped in, and that was extremely popular and remains popular. We have a little bit of stock left on that. So those kinds of efforts by the publisher to create, you know, beautiful special editions, that's really paid off during the pandemic. Of course, there was the huge spike in sales in June and July and August for authors, Black authors. There was an attempt to black out the bestseller list, which was largely successful, and that was definitely a peak and a highlight of the year.
What about novels? We were just talking about that with Benjamin, Dan. Was there one novel that absolutely was your bestseller this year?
No, it really is kind of, we're very eclectic, and we're always trying to match the right book with the right patron and the right reader. So there's not been one novel, but there's great novels from longstanding authors like Sue Miller has written a great novel called Monogamy that received an incredible review in the New York Times Book Review. And then Marilyn Robinson, a longtime favorite, has a new novel out called Jack. And those are both on our top 10 list. So it's very eclectic. There's no one book that everyone has to have, that's great for an independent bookseller.
Right. How about you, Michael? Best in fiction for you this year?
I'll tell you, one thing that's interesting about this year is it gives you opportunities that you wouldn't otherwise have had. Like, for instance, I've interviewed John Grisham twice on Zoom calls.
Wow.
And so Grisham has always been super solid as, you know, as a popular author for us. But this year, his books are selling like crazy because we had those online events. And his new one is called A Time for Mercy. You know, it's back to the world of A Time to Kill. And, you know, so, yeah, so that just is a weird and positive distortion that happened this year, that we've had, you know, just huge sales of John Grisham books. Of course, he, you know, has huge sales everywhere. My favorite novel of the year, if you want to get into that, that I read is The Cold Millions by Jess Walter. I mean, that he wrote The Beautiful Ruins some years ago. And to me, it's like the great Pacific Northwest novel. And I really can't recommend it enough. It's set in 1910. It has a mix of real and fictional characters like you would find in E.L. Doctorow. And, you know, it's very familiar. It's a period of rising xenophobia. There's rich people whipping up alarm about filthy foreigners and godless socialists. And it feels very reminiscent, except people were more likely to get, you know, beaten up and having their wages stolen. It's like the beginning of the labor movement. And it's a very vivid novel and funny and great characters. And so that's The Cold Millions by Jess Walter. I think it's the best of the year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think I read Beautiful Ruins that you mentioned and loved it. So I will check that out. It's interesting what you said, Michael, that you've been doing Zoom events with authors. Gibson's is known for having, you know, very popular, crowded live events at the store. Obviously, you're not doing that. So just describe these Zoom events and how they've been going and how that's opened up new opportunities for you.
Well, it's, you know, we have a wonderful events coordinator. Hi, Elizabeth. I hope you're listening. You know, and, you know, she's pivoted very well from in-store events to Zoom events. And we've had probably 50 or 60 Zoom events in the last 5 months that, you know, and like I said, ordinarily, you know, you just wouldn't have a chance for some of these authors. But now you do, because, you know, they might be 3,000 miles away, but it doesn't matter. And so, you know, they're not really a primary mover of book sales per se, but it's a great way to keep writers and readers in touch with each other, you know, by the agency of the bookstore. So it really feels like it's a great way to fulfill our mission even during COVID.
Wow, interesting.
We have all of our online events are archived on our website too, so you can see them, you know, anytime.
Well, that's a great chance for me to remind listeners that all the books that come up in our conversation today from our guests and from you will be put on our website later. It's nhpr.org/exchange. Guys, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will talk about nonfiction. We will talk a little bit more about Total Escape books, whether you care to give a title or two there. Also, we might touch on books about politics, about racism, about history. And listeners, tell us your favorite books of 2020, or what questions do you have about a book that you might be seeking? Email us, it's exchange@nhpr.org, and we'll be right back. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, it's our annual holiday book show. A little earlier this year, given disruptions in book publishing, book selling, and the way Americans are approaching the holidays in 2020. Remember, all the books mentioned this hour by our guests and by you will be on our website later today. It's nhpr.org/exchange. Also, we are keeping an eye on our state's rising COVID infections. And tomorrow on The Exchange, we'll be talking about that with New Hampshire's top epidemiologist. So join us Wednesday morning, live at 9. Right now, we're talking with three Granite State independent booksellers. They are Dan Chartrand of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, Michael Herman with Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, and Benjamin Paisley of Bookery Manchester. And all of you, we talked about fiction, and we'll probably dip back into that a little bit later, but how about nonfiction, Benjamin? What's really selling with your customers at Bookery Manchester this year in that category, nonfiction?
So the best-selling one we have in nonfiction for us was Trust by Pete Buttigieg, which was really cool because I remember, I think it was earlier this year, all the time kind of seems to flow at this point, so it's hard to remember. time correctly, but I think we did First in the Nation earlier this year in February, where we had an event for him here. And it was the most amazing event I've been a part of, being at the Bookery. Just feeling the electricity and the energy here that day of everyone in the building with the same mindset and having a mission and a goal to get all of this done was amazing. And talk about diversity. We had people here that were, I believe, upwards of 60 years old, all the way down to 18. And to get all of their views and their political ideas, if you will, in one room was like crazy. We had kids in here who was telling them their side, and the adults were actually listening to them and not like discounting them or putting them down in any way. They were actually having real conversations. We all laughed. We all were booing certain people at this certain time. So it was so cool to be a part of that because of so many people's views. And I don't know, it was just so super positive. It was really positive and really cool to be in that building at that time.
Wow. And it's making me nostalgic, Ben, for those live events that, you know, you guys used to hold at your stores, sort of the electricity in the room there. How about you, Dan Chartrand, nonfiction? What's been selling well in 2020?
Again, it's very eclectic, but one of the books that's selling best for us is a book called A Libertarian Walks Into a Bear, and it's subtitled The Utopian Plot to Liberate an American Town and Some Bears. And it's this loopy kind of nonfiction book about what happens when Grafton, New Hampshire, is overtaken by libertarians. And they basically try to eliminate as much government as possible, and then the bears walk in. It's a wonderful book. It's actually edited by a gentleman who lives in New Hampshire here in Exeter, Ben Adams. He called it to our attention. It's been a hugely popular book, not just in terms of sort of the humor of it, but it also kind of illustrates the political situation in a strange way.
Well, and that's nonfiction, because I could see it being fiction too, Dan, but that's a nonfiction book.
It's a nonfiction book, A Libertarian Walks Into a Bear by Matthew Hongold Hedling.
All right, awesome. And Michael, how about you? What's big in the nonfiction category for you at Gibson's?
Well, yeah, Libertarian Walks Into a Bear is a great, great read, and we've sold a ton of them. But of course, the biggest nonfiction book of the year is hitting our bookshelves this morning, and it's Promised Land by Barack Obama. That's going to be, I can already tell you, that's going to be the biggest one of the year. First, it's volume one of two of his memoirs, and that's going to be a huge book. Other than that, I would say that, His Truth is Marching On by John Meacham would be probably one of our biggest sellers. That is a book about, John Lewis, the late congressman who just passed away this year. And that's been, the instigator of Good Trouble. And that's been one of our biggest sellers. Another one that's really taking off now is called Apollo's Arrow. It's the first really good book about the coronavirus that's just come out. And it examines the pandemic from medical and social and psychological and economic perspectives. And so that's been a good one too. And I think it's gonna gather steam over the holidays.
Wow, that was very quickly pulled together. To write a whole book about that, Michael.
Like I said earlier, it's hard to really have a grasp on our present moment. I think we're only really going to understand it in retrospect, but people are starting to sort of write the first drafts of what it's going to look like.
Interesting. Well, lots of comments from our listeners, so let's go to them. Chris and Hooks at emails, I have been to all the stores featured on the show. They're awesome. That's great, Chris. Chris says, in terms of a read recommendation, fiction, Florida Man by Tom Cooper, his second book, his first, The Marauders, also very good. So Chris, thank you for writing. Again, all the books mentioned during the show will be on our website later today. Sarah in Concord writes, I heard yesterday that Ty Gagne, author of Where You'll Find Me, has written another book. Can one of your bookstore owners speak to this? I think Where You'll Find Me was brilliant and plan to pick up the new one as a gift for all the hikers on my list. And by the way, we interviewed Ty Gagne a couple years ago about Where You'll Find Me, and he's going to be on our show Tuesday, November 24th. The book is called Last Traverse, Tragedy and Resilience in the Winter Whites. Again, so that's next week. So Sarah Tighagne will be on the show. Dan Chartrand, do you want to talk about local authors and the important role that they play at your store?
Yeah, I mean, the mission of the bookstore, as I've always pointed out, is to build a diverse and vibrant community around the written word. And the local authors are an important part of that. They're one third of the braid that we're weaving. There's the readers, there's the booksellers, and then there's the authors. And the local authors are the most important amongst those authors. So Tighagne's book is a great example of that. We sold his last book very well, and this book has just launched this month, and it's selling very well also. Another great local author we have is the author Dan Brown, who's just published his first children's book, Wild Symphony, which is our leading bestseller this season. So local authors are indispensable for all of our stores and give each store the kind of vibrance that we're after.
Yeah, interesting to think that Dan Brown is still a local author, right? Dan Chartrand, he's from Exeter, although he's sort of a global bestseller. How about you, Benjamin? What's the role of local authors at your store? What local authors do people seem to like at Bookery in Manchester?
Well, to kind of echo Dan, it's similarly, I think the voice of your community is your local authors. We try to have a huge mix here. We're having a huge surge of local authors actually reach out to us now, and we're trying to accommodate them all. But I think it's your local voice. And the one that I think speaks volumes here for us is Dan Chesney. I'm definitely saying his last name.
Dan Chesney, yeah.
Chesney. He's like a celebrity in my eyes, not maybe in his, but in my eyes he is, because every time I mention his name, or and I follow him on Facebook and Instagram too, he gets a lot of love. People really love him. He's a real cool guy, down to earth, and he's just amazing. Like, I have talked to him a few times when he was in here. I don't know, he's just that warm local person that everyone would hope to have in their community.
Wow. How about you, Michael? I know local authors is a big deal for you too.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's been a good year for local authors. Somebody who's been a customer of ours and a constant attendee at book events has just published her first novel. Her name is Sarah Crowe. She lives here in Concord, or Canterbury, I believe, actually. And it's called The Wrong Kind of Woman. It's a debut novel that studies the impact of second wave feminism and the anti-war movement on a New Hampshire college campus in the early 70s. And it's gotten great reviews. It's got a lot of insight and compassion. And I think that's going to be a great novel, especially for book clubs once it gets into paperback too. Also, another local author is named Virginia McGregor, and she's written a number of books. Her new book is called You Found Me. And so, yeah, we love local authors. Usually when we have in-store events for them, you know, of course, all their friends and family come. So it's a,
which is great, right?
That's a total celebration of writing. And as Dan would say, celebrating the written word.
Well, and speaking of Dan Chesney, we had him on The Exchange when his book, The White Mountain, came out, about the characters surrounding Mount Washington. And Dan was also with us last week on the Weekly News Roundup talking about Marty, the Mount Washington Observatory cat, who sadly passed away. So Dan Chesney is definitely a friend of the show as well. I'm glad his name came up. More emails from listeners. Kathy and Keen emails, loving the books mentioned so far. The Conway Public Library Book Group is looking for not only an engaging but well-written read, hopefully with an uplifting message. In times of tough politics and COVID, we would like something that would lighten our spirits. Any suggestions will be appreciated. Kathy, I am right there with you. I do not want to read something depressing right now. I'm going to ask all three of you Kathy's question. And Dan, how about you first? Something hopeful with an uplifting message.
You know, one of our favorite book group books over the last year or so has been Elizabeth Gilbert's City of Girls. Great, strong women characters. It's funny. That's the one I would recommend.
Okay. Yeah. How about you, Benjamin? Something uplifting, fiction or nonfiction?
One of the books that stands out to me would be Jim Cooley's book. I forgot the name of it. It was
how to be a better human. Was that it?
Yeah, something like that, or self-being, or but him, because we had a he did an author event with us, and that really spoke to me and a lot of other people who came into the Zoom event. It was super positive. It was very uplifting, and how to be your best self, or how to help become your best self, how to realize certain things, how to kind of pick your head up from this COVID situation and be more thoughtful in what you're doing, refocus your energy and the things you want to be doing. I don't know, it's just he hit home in a lot of people's feeling, and he picked a really perfect time to drop that book because I think it resonated with a lot of people during these downtimes. So that one was a huge book for me.
Great. How about you, Michael?
Well, let's talk about Dolly Parton for a second. She was just in the news yesterday because the new vaccine for COVID that's got almost 95% success rate was partially funded by Dolly Parton. And so I thought to myself, is there anything this woman can't do? There's a new book by Sarah Schmarsh called She Come By It Natural, Dolly Parton and the Women Who Lived Her Songs. And Sarah Schmarsh wrote the book Heartland about growing up on a poor Kansas farm some years ago. And it's a beautiful, poetic book. And this new book is a slender little volume. It's an affectionate and astute cultural study of Dolly Parton's life and music. And it's, you know, it's a feel-good story because she came from nothing, famously came from nothing. And then she wanted to be rich and famous, and she became rich and famous. And she's been giving back ever since. She's given away, her foundation's given away over 100 million books over the years. And now she's funding the COVID vaccine. So I don't, you know, if that's not a feel good story, I don't know what is.
Well, and Kathleen Keene, I'll add my own. I know I've mentioned this on the show before, A Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles. Still one of my absolute favorite books ever. Very interesting piece of historical fiction. And it is uplifting at the end. So that's mine for you, Kathy. Thank you for writing in. Leslie in Chester writes, there were two novels I read recently that had controversy surrounding their release, so I figured I'd check them out. American Dirt is about a mother's attempt to escape violence in Mexico, and Giver of Stars is about WPA, I think that's Works Projects Administration from the Great Depression, librarians on horseback in rural Kentucky. Both authors have an exceptional way of bringing their characters to life. Truly great stories, Leslie says. Controversy aside, they are great reads. Dan, can you talk about either of those two novels? I remember reading about the controversy over American Dirt. I don't remember the controversy over Giver of Stars.
The controversy around American Dirt, of course, was, you know, there was a critique of the author for not having actually lived the experience she was writing about. And with The Giver of Stars, there was some sense that it might have duplicated the plot of another book that came out slightly before it. Or so, I mean, those were the controversies without going into it any further. Both of those books have sold very well. Another book like those that is selling well that is just published is Memorial by Brian Washington. It's a great, it's an indie pick this month, just releasing. And Stephanie, our store manager, describes it as a smart and tender novel about relationships, plus it has great writing about food. So that's Memorial by Brian Washington.
Okay.
And it sounds like that's the book this woman needs to read next.
Leslie, thanks for writing in. And I did want to ask all of you about books concerning what's often called America's recent reckoning with racism in our society. And after the killing of by police of George Floyd this year, the demonstrations that took place around the country, lots of Americans were re-examining the country's history of racism. And this summer, you guys were on the show. We were talking about how people were seeking books to help them understand. Just to revisit again, Benjamin, but I want to go to everybody. You first, Benjamin. What were some titles around this topic that sold really well at your store, Book Read Manchester?
The Untamed was one. White Fragility was another one. And geez, that seems like a lifetime ago at this point.
Doesn't it? I know. Time in the pandemic, I often say, is like a big bowl of oatmeal. So those are two. Yeah, go ahead, Benjamin.
This morning about that, like, because they were asking me what I was doing. I was like, I'm going on the radio. And I think I was on there last year, but not knowing that it was earlier this year.
Yeah, it was May or June, I think. So, okay, so White Fragility, and what was the other one you mentioned, Benjamin, again?
Untamed, and How to Be Anti-Racist.
Okay. How about you, Michael? I know this was big at your store too.
Oh yeah, and it remains so. Certainly, you know, Kendi and White Fragility. There's actually a new version of Kendi's anti-racism text for children. There's a board book, Anti-Racist Baby. And, you know, there's, so, you know, get them young. Let's start talking about this young. And it's actually, it's a good board book. It's not just there for education. It's also entertaining. We found that, you know, after the initial rush to try to understand what the heck was going on, that people are starting to turn to some of the foundational figures in the anti-racist movement. There's a new book about Malcolm X called The Dead Are Arising by Les Payne. And he actually died while he was writing it. It was finished by his daughter, Tamara. And it's called The Dead Are Arising, The Life of Malcolm X. And it's just a comprehensive and a very timely biography of Malcolm. And there's a new book about James Baldwin called Begin Again by Eddie Gloud that is all about, you know, James Baldwin's vision of America back in the 50s and 60s and beyond, and how it has lessons for our own time.
Wow, that's really interesting, Michael. So after the initial rush of, you know, let's figure this out, what's happening right here and now, people are going back to these larger foundational books, the John Lewis book too, right? Michael probably fits in with what
exactly.
You're talking about.
Yeah, we hope that continues because we don't want it to be just a fad like the adult coloring books. We want people to continue this conversation because it's so vital to the future of the country.
Dan, how about at Water Street?
So there's a wonderful author named Isabel Wilkerson who wrote an award-winning book called The Warmth of Other Suns, The Epic Story of America's Great Migration. And now she has a new book that just came out in August, which it's come out since we last spoke. And it's called Cast. And the subtitle is The Origins of Our Discontents. And basically what she's doing with this book is she's really trying to get to the bottom of what racism is about and what classism is about. And she compares the caste system in the U.S. to three other examples: the caste system in India, the caste system in South Africa under apartheid, and the caste system in Nazi Germany. And it's really, I haven't read the whole book. It's one of those books that you digest very slowly. But I'm working my way through it. My favorite blurb about this book is Jill Lepore's blurb. What Wilkerson urges isn't argument at all. It's compassion. Hush and listen. That's Jill Lepore's blurb. So that's a book that's selling probably the best of all the books on anti-racism right now.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Give us the title again, Dan.
It's called Cast, C-A-S-T-E, and then the subtitle is The Origins of Our Discontents.
All right. Well, after a short break, more emails from our listeners with questions and lots of recommendations. You can send them in, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also use Facebook or Twitter, or you can give us an old-fashioned phone call, 1-800-892-6477. More with our booksellers in a moment. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
One of the first reasons we decided to be an underwriter with NHPR was because we were listeners ourselves.
Kate Morno of Morno Law is a proud NHPR underwriter.
Morno Law's values are completely aligned with NHPR's values. We are focused on the community, giving back to the community, and it's really a natural fit.
You too can join our statewide community of local business supporters. Learn more at nhpr.org/underwrite.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, New Hampshire's top epidemiologists talk about the spike in COVID infections in our state. You can join us with your questions and tune in Wednesday morning, live at 9, for that conversation. Today, it's our annual holiday book show, a little earlier this year, given the pandemic's impact on both the book industry and how people are shopping in 2020. All the books, as usual, mentioned during this hour by our three independent bookstore owners and by you, will be put on our website later today. It's nhpr.org/exchange. You can email us right now, exchange@nhpr.org. You can use Facebook, Twitter, or call 1-800-892-6477. So Michael, Benjamin, Dan, I've got to go back to emails because listeners are really writing in with lots of recommendations. Leslie in Bennington says, during the pandemic, I've enjoyed reading picture books with my little one. We loved Lovely by Jess Hong and Three Squeezes by Jason Pratt. New classics, in my opinion. Leslie, thank you. We haven't talked that much about books for kids. How about you, Benjamin? What's selling well in your children's and young adult sections?
They're all selling really well. And to kind of answer that question too about the picture books, we've had a lot of kids come in and grab their like first picture books here, which has been really awesome. And interacting with the kids here has been amazing. But let me just see, you said...
children, young adults, yeah. Sort of the younger crowd.
So the younger crowd has kind of been more of A Song of Race and Ruin by Roseanne A. Brown. It's based on African folklore. It's been selling really well here. We're seeing a lot of kids gravitate toward that. From what I'm seeing is because they have more, I would say, not view into it, but they can relate to it in a way. They kind of see themselves in it. Right. So I think that's one of the ones that's been selling really well for us.
How about you, Dan Chartrand at Water Street?
Laura, I have to confess that I did not get my children's book prep done.
That is okay. It has been a busy time. How about you, Michael Herman at Gibson's?
Yeah, well, I at the last minute, I asked Heather, our children's buyer, what to recommend. So there's a picture book called And the People Stayed Home, which it was written in March 2020. As a poem. It was published on the author's Facebook page and it went viral. And now there's a picture book about it by Kitty O'Meara. And, people learned more, just new ways of being while they were staying home during the pandemic. And another picture book that Heather's recommending is a book by April Stott called Share Some Kindness and Bring Some Light. And it's all about a bear who's sad because other animals think he's mean because he's so big. But his human friend offers to help him. And it works out. So that's a good picture book too. And of course, there's a new picture book by Jan Brett called Cozy, which is just, she's always reliable for a fantastic picture book for kids.
Sure. I remember reading those picture books to my kids when they were little and they were really cozy back then. They're probably even cozier now since, as that other book author said, the people stayed home. Here's another recommendation from Linda in Nashua, who says, I recently read Separated by Jacob Soboroff, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, which is about the immigration crisis and childhood separations. While difficult to read, it really explains how this situation developed. Linda, thank you. Rob recommends a debut novel by local author KJ Dell'Antonia, The Chicken Sisters. Rob says it's a fun read, comes out on December 1st. KJ Dell'Antonia is a frequent guest on The Exchange, by the way. Anna in Hopkinton says, I recommend for nonfiction, Yellow Bird, Oil, Murder, and a Woman's Search for Justice by Sierra Crane Murdoch. Murdoch is a reporter who investigates the ramifications of fracking and drilling on Native American reservations. Very well written and heartbreaking. Anna says, in fiction, I just finished reading The Shame by McKenna Goodman. The author was featured on a Boston Globe virtual book review hosted by a Hanover bookstore. Well-written first novel dealing with the complexities and monotony of motherhood. Anna, thank you very much for those recommendations. Ruth in Sandwich wrote, it often seems that young adult books get short shrift. Lots of kid books, lots of adult. Ruth says, any recommendations for that in-between group besides the Twilight series? I think you guys kind of talked about that, but Ruth is right. There's adult books and kids books. Michael Herman, any young adult books you want to recommend for that in-between group, as Ruth puts it?
Yeah, there's a book, one of our booksellers named Jim Gosher, who's also a teacher here in town, said, here's a fast read that left me furious, and he just can't stop thinking about it. It's called Punching the Air by E.B. Zoboi and Yusuf Salam. And it's a story of a kid named Amal, who's an African-American teenager, who gets detention for taking part in a fight that sent a white teen into a coma. And this is a story that Jim found hugely memorable. It's written in free verse poetry, which is kind of a thing with young adult books these days. And he said it's very fast and very powerful read.
All
it's
right.
called Punching the Air.
Okay. I want to ask all of you about history. We touched on that a little bit earlier, but I wonder, I think I'll turn to you first, Dan, but anybody jump in. Do people find comfort in difficult times? Looking back to history, reminding ourselves that people have been through tough times before. One of you mentioned that John Lewis's biography is selling well, also a new biography of Malcolm X. What about that, Dan? What sort of historical books are out there that are just reminding people that, you know, things have been difficult in earlier periods in our history as well?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a thing, Laura. People love to look back. There's a security in knowing how the story goes and rereading it.
Yeah.
And how it points forward to maybe inform us of where we are going now. A great book that just came out from a great author, Mary Beth Norton, is called 1774, The Long Year of Revolution. It chronicles sort of the events of the fall of 73 to the spring of 75, which led up to sort of the bursting open of the revolution at Lexington and Concord. Great read. I love that. Neil Gabler, who is he's a wonderful author. He's a real pillar of the nonfiction writing community in the U.S., and he's written a new book called Catch the Wind, and it's subtitled Edward Kennedy and the Liberal Hour, 1932 to 1975. That's a wonderful read as well.
Okay. I want to go back to our listeners, and Melanie in Nashua writes, I want to support local bookstores, but have become addicted to my e-reader. When I buy through the links on local shop websites, does that really give money to them? Is there anything else I can do to support them when purchasing ebooks? Great question, Melanie. And Benjamin, you first. You know, business models keep emerging.
Yes, ma'am. So what she's doing right now is helping support local bookstores. They're definitely, I think Libro helps out with a lot of ebooks that kind of give back to local bookstores. I know they had something going on earlier this year when we all went through our pandemic that was going to give the bookstore of your choice a good percent of the money that they made. So what you're doing is amazing. We do get the money, not as much as you would think, but we do get the money. It does help out. So I would just say keep supporting local and do what you're doing. I don't see anything wrong with what you're doing.
And Benjamin, by the way, any thoughts on the question I just asked Dan about, you know, looking back to history as a way to find comfort in these unsettled times?
Yes, ma'am. So we have one of the books that we chose here was Sapiens. It's a graphic history by Yuval Noah Harari. It's about a book that depicts us having all these multiple species on Earth, and then how we kind of delved it down only to one, which is Homo sapiens. And it kind of gives us a broad overview of what happened to make it only the Homo sapiens and what we've gone through over time to make us who we are and where we're going forward in the future.
Wow. Michael, any other history books you want to reference? You already mentioned, I think, the John Lewis book.
Yeah, well, Rick Perlstein has just come out with the fourth volume in his study of the conservative rise in America. It's called Reaganland, which is about the transition from Jimmy Carter to Ronald Reagan. And, you know, it's a great way to frame the present moment.
Diane and Frank write in. They say, we highly recommend Exiles, the latest book by Christina Baker Klein, author of The Orphan Train and Peace of the World. Exiles is about British female prisoners that were sent to Australia and Tasmania during the early days of British rule in that part of the world. Wow, Diane and Frank, that sounds incredible. And we don't really focus on that very much in our culture. We're much more focused on our corner of the world. So thank you for writing in. Just to wrap up with you guys, a couple more questions. We touched on this earlier, but I want to ask about your role as community gathering spaces. And when we've talked before, all of you have said, you know, this is why independent bookstores have survived so well in the face of Amazon. Benjamin, to you first, especially since you guys really are relatively new on this scene. So what do you do when people can't use Bookery Manchester as a gathering space? How do you hold on to that special community connection, Benjamin?
We try to hold on to it via our social media. We try to make it as welcoming and warming as it is inside virtually. And I know it's hard to do, But I feel like with the right energy and the right people, you kind of can. We try to cater to our community by doing the things that they want to see done, bringing that same amount of energy and that warm feeling online. So they're kind of like a part of it. We do a lot of online events. Well, we've been trying to. It's kind of dwindled out later in the year as COVID rises. But we try to do a lot more of those events to bring the community together, highlighting local authors, new authors, and just giving that community feel. So I would say in all, just our social media, we try to step up in any way. If that's me reading story time books, us dancing on TikTok, us bringing you these virtual authors, whatever it is to connect and be truly connected to you as a community, we try to do here.
And I did see the dance on TikTok just this morning, and I want to thank you because it made me laugh and it was great. And, you know, times are uncertain, so I really appreciated that. Michael Herman, you might have to step it up and dance the way Benjamin does on your website. Yeah. How are you?
Dancing, you know, if you ever saw Elaine on Seinfeld, that's kind of my style for dancing. So.
Well, on TikTok, all styles are welcome. I mean, they have 90-year-olds dancing, you know.
I think bookstores just occupy, even if they, I mean, right now we're open, so people can still come in and kind of gather in a sort of way. But, you know, I think we, you know, instead of physical space, we also have a certain mind space for folks. I mean, they say a town isn't complete unless it has an independent bookstore, and it's not a real town. I think Neil Gaiman said that. And I think it's true. So even if people can't come visit us, I think our continuing existence is a source of some comfort. I don't want to overstate it, but I think we continue to provide a service even when people can't come in.
Dan Chartrand, how are you approaching this now at Water Street, sort of holding on to that thing that has helped independent bookstores make it, even with the threat of Amazon? If you're not a gathering place, what do you do?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked this question, Laura, because it really is, pardon me, it's really at the heart of what we do. So I think the thing here is there's two things I want to talk about. The first is my overwhelming emotion and response to the COVID pandemic is gratitude. The way our local community has rallied to our bookstore and other merchants in the downtown of Exeter has been nothing short of awe-inspiring. And I just have this overwhelming emotion of gratitude. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we've always had this amazing customer service ethic in this bookstore, which is so common in other independent bookstores as well. And that's really why we've kept our non-public model up and running even while we've been open. You know, it matters that we're willing to deliver a book to someone who's isolated because they have COVID. It matters that we're willing to, you know, go out on the sidewalk and hand someone a book because they don't feel comfortable coming in the store. And it matters that we have booksellers and a community that are all willing to take care of each other. So it really matters. And your question is so appropriate right at this moment.
Well, and it's perfect as we head into Thanksgiving week, that deep, deep message of just overwhelming gratitude I'm hearing from you, Dan. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. So we're finishing up 2020 for some people, not fast enough, but here we are approaching the end of this challenging year. How about you, Benjamin? Is there one book that you're really looking forward to coming out at the end of the year or in the new year?
The book that I would say is already, it just came out today, the Barack Obama book. I'm really looking forward to reading that, especially how this year has been politically for me and how it's felt. I wasn't so much into politics as I should have been at an earlier age, especially around when Barack Obama was in presidency. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to reading his book that just came out today. And I think a lot of people are, as I believe Mike and Dan had mentioned earlier in the show. That one really stands out to me, and that's going to definitely probably be the book I'm reading from now until the end of the year.
Wow. And so perfect timing for our show today, right? Benjamin, it is literally out today. So does that mean you get it in the store, or do you have to wait a little bit, or how does that work?
Oh, no, ma'am. We already got it. So
you got it. Okay.
We get it early, but we can't take it out. We can't show anybody. We can't advertise that it's for sale or anything until that day, which is today. So we've had it. We have tons of copies here. We just sold our first couple early this morning, right when we opened. We had a few people come in and ask if we had it, and we were able to give it to them. So really looking forward to see how well that book sells.
Awesome. Michael, how about you? Something to look forward to, 2020, 2021?
Well, I'm looking forward to the end of 2020. So on January 12th, 2021, there's a book coming out by George Saunders, who wrote Lincoln and the Bardo. And the title is A Swim in a Pond in the Rain, in which four Russians give a master class on writing, reading, and life. And the title is a quote from a Chekhov story called Gooseberries. It's stories by Chekhov, Turgenev, Tolstoy, and Gogol. And it's essays on for anyone interested in how fiction works. I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, that sounds great. Get your Russian literature hat on there, Michael. Thank you. Dan, how about you? Very quickly, what are you most anticipating in 2021?
You know, there's a wonderful author named Meredith Hall who's written a new book called Beneficent, and it's a novel. And it's out, but I'm looking forward to reading it in the new year. I've set it aside as my January read.
Well, and one of my hopes for the new year is that the next time we talk about summer books, maybe we can be together in the studio, guys. That would be great. For now, thank you all so much. I know it's a busy time of year for you. Thank you very much for being with us. That was Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, Michael Herman of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, and Benjamin Paisley of Bookery Manchester. Today's program was put together by Exchange producer and news host Jessica Hunt. This is The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.